Good evening, Wednesday night Bible class. This is Michael Whittington again. I'm one of the ministers for the Antioch Church of Christ, and I have the same panel joining me that we had when you were viewing this last Wednesday as well. We have William Beard. Brother William has been at Antioch for, I think, 28 years or so, considerably longer than I've been there, but I think Steve's been there probably that long or longer, I'm not sure. But anyway, William is one of our Bible class teachers. Very well read in scripture and just a godly man and a dear friend of mine. We have Steve Diggs. Steve's one of our ministers as well. World traveler, speaks all the time. Great speaker. Won't go any more there, but the fact is he has a huge bio and well-deserved. Jose Nieto Goyo, as he goes by, is also one of our ministers. He's our outreach and community minister. So, gentlemen, brothers in Christ, welcome again. What we're talking about is the social unrest that we've experienced, that the whole world's experienced here in America since the tragic killing of George Floyd on May the 26th. And so, obviously, we've all been watching the news, and because of that, it's just broken all of our hearts, and I've just asked the question to myself repeatedly and finally to others like William the other week, what can I do? I mean, what can I do as a white man, as a white Christian? Is there anything that I can do to help ease the tension? So that's the question tonight. What can we do as God's people? What can we do as Christians to love our neighbor and love God and ease the tension in our nation and understand the tension in our nation? So with that in mind, I think I'll open with the same verse of scripture that I closed with before, and that was one of the Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God," generic, the sons and daughters of God. Which I think begs the question, why would a peacemaker be called a child of God unless the Father is the ultimate peacemaker? Yeah. And so I think that's where we'll start. So Steve, turn to you, brother, and why don't you kick us off with something here? Be specific as best we can.
Well, you know, we were talking about this a moment ago. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us, and I'm just going to read this, get it right here, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether it be Jews, Gentiles, slave, or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." The point is, I think the word itself, racism, is a misnomer because it infers that there are multiple races. There aren't. We have one race out here. They're humans. We have the human race. And everything else we've got that we're fussing over are ethnicities.
I told you he was a great speaker, didn't I? I just used him.
Yeah. But the differences biologically, and I think in every other way, are almost nil. So the question is, why are people acting this way? And to me, it gets back to what you were just simply saying, Whit. You know, it's a matter of loving other folk. And love doesn't come real easy because we're born with a sin nature. And until we know Christ, we can't really make a true blue effort to love in a real deep abiding way. And even though those of us that know Christ, you know, we still struggle with this, at least I do all the time. I'll tell you one thing is before I end here. In this past week, I have had more pleasant conversations with African-American individuals whom I did not know than I probably had in the last 6 months.
Because of the unrest that's been going on?
I think that's my reason for it, because I was in Home Depot a day or two ago, and there was this lady there. She was 38. She's the age of Joshua. And I was getting some wood sawed. She was waiting to do so. And I don't recall whether she spoke to me first or I spoke to her. But this is just one of, I guess, three or four times this has happened in the last week. And she, we got conversing with each other, and just, we were going out of our way to be nice. And I don't think either one of us had enough courage to say, "Are you being nice to me because you want to diffuse some of the stuff going on?" But I think the answer was probably yes, but it was more than that. she, I think, was being nice to me. And I know I was being nice to her because I liked her. And to me, it is a waste of time to spend it angry at people. And I just wanted to kind of communicate to her. And she was doing the same to me. And boy, I walked away from that moment with her just blessed for most of the rest of that day. So, you know, the junk that we've seen up in Minneapolis and we're seeing all around the country now, that's demonic.
It is demonic.
And Christians,
it is.
Christians don't need to be a party to that. We need to be the people who are loving. And I think one of the best things you can do is just this very thing. You know, when you're in public and you bump into an individual, you have that moment, be kind. And if you don't have a moment to talk with them, at least smile. And that's hard to do with these masks on, but you can smile car to car when you pass them without the mask. These are things right now that I think are important, and I think Christians need to be busy about doing. And by the way, by the end of that little conversation she and I had, I think we both realized the other one was a Christian. And that kind of tells you again about the heart that Christians will tend to have.
Well, I'll be taking some quick notes here. And really what I want to do for the class, and you've started it well, Steve, is I want to kind of have some, you know, have people walk away with three or four clear thoughts. So God shows no partiality. By the way, that's in Acts 10:34. I was asking Jose about that earlier. It's Acts 10:34, for God shows no partiality. And the reason he doesn't is because he created us. And you're right. He, you know, everyone goes back through Noah and then, of course, to Adam. So there's only the human race. Now, we would be silly to, and we're not. You know, I would be foolish if I were to say, well, I don't see race. So, of course, I see race. The point that you made, Brother Steve, and that scripture really corroborates is that, yes, on this side of eternity, there are different languages, there are different nationalities, there are different colors of skin. But when you peel everything back, and you don't have to go back very far, when you get to the heart of the issue, we are all created in the image of God. And once we understand that, once we get it, then we want to help each other because we're one, you know, human family. And then beyond that, I want to share Christ because I want to make sure that this person I love goes to heaven. And so it just goes from there. So God shows no partiality. Galatians 3:27, the beautiful text on baptism, he says there is neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, bond or free, slave or free. All are one in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So,
hey, not to cut you off, Whit.
No, you go right ahead. I need to be cut off.
I love that story, Steve, that you just had. And I want to kind of mend that story that you just had and what Goyo said about partiality. And the real question, and this is a question for you guys, and I'm not going to comment on it more, but I want to ask the question, how can we have that kind of mentality on a daily basis beyond the condition of the world?
You mean after we get past this hard time?
Right. After the condition that the world is in right now, or whatever condition that causes unrest, how can we have the kind of mentality that you have in speaking with this woman at Home Depot, how can we have that mentality extend beyond just the unrest and lawlessness in the world that we're facing? But when things are really going well, how can we continue to have that mentality of conversating with people that we don't know or other cultures that we don't have a rapport with? How can we keep having conversations even amidst the unrest that's going on now? How can we move that forward beyond the difficulties that we're seeing there, if that makes sense to you?
Yeah, good question.
I would like to say that sometimes we just need to go, just to answer to your question, brother, we need to go back to the basics. And the basics, there's nothing more basic than John 3:16 that says, that God so loved the world.
Yes.
By gave his only son.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Whoever, he said anyone.
Yes.
Anyone, any color, any size, mm-hmm. any language, you know, anyone who believes in him. And so we need to go back to love the world, to love people. We need to go back to the idea of, as our brother Whit mentioned before, that we're in the saving business. We're here to save people. We want to connect people. We want people to be in peace with God, going back to the being peacemakers.
Right.
And the only way we can do that is by loving them.
You know, one of the things that I think that plays to this also, William, is understanding how bad we are. You know, it's so easy to be critical of other people. I have this problem in traffic all the time. I get upset at people, you know, and I struggle with this. But I don't do very much of that. I do far less of that when my focus is on my own sins. And I'm thinking, you know, Steve, how many times do you cut somebody else off in traffic yourself? How many times have you done this and this? I mean, and I can suddenly get that dance card so full that, you know, I'm just at a moment before God saying, God, just forgive me. Everybody else is okay. Just forgive me for what I've done. I won't hold anything against anybody. And that attitude has helped me a lot in life. I've noticed that people that are the most unforgiving and the most angry tend to be the people who deal the very least with their own shortcomings.
I agree with that. Forgive me. You nailed it. Yeah, go ahead. Keep talking.
I'm done. I said my piece there.
Yeah, it's at James 1:22. You know, I call it mirror time. It's looking at yourself. And the ones who have the hardest time forgiving another person are the ones who don't see their own faults. Mm-hmm. And it baffles me. And so, you know, all this finger pointing, but the moment I point, you know, as a, you know, figure, you know, in my heart, then I'm just, you know, God comes right back to me and says, whoa, who, you know, and so you've got this, what I call mirror time, you know. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, guys. Yeah, this is great. God shows no partiality. 1 Corinthians 12, Galatians 3, Acts 10, 34. What's another thing that we can do specifically? You know, William, you closed last week with the word prayer. Now, that's something tangible. I mean, we could, you know, when I ask you on that Saturday, hey, brother, what can I do? And you implied, well, you know, why don't you fall on your knees and pray?
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, I do. Well, pray about this. Pray on this issue. What can you do? Now I'm talking about myself. What can I do as a white Christian to help the plight of our minorities, of my brother William, and my, you know, Hermano, you know, Jose? What can I do? Well, I can not only show no partiality by knowing, you know, we're all God's children, but I can also pray. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. You know, Matthew 7:7. So I'm going to throw that out, and we can see where it runs.
Yeah. And Brother Witt, our conversation Saturday, and I love the fact that you, when you called me, you said, I don't know what to do. Yeah. And, you know, we look for honesty in our conversation with our brothers in Christ.
Yeah.
And what we have to believe in as Christians, we have to believe in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, when it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we have to really believe in that, even amidst this situation that we are really witnessing. Do we really believe that God is going to work things for good in this situation? And I love the fact that you and I, when we spoke, and the conversation that we had, and the words that came out of your mouth was, I just don't know what to do. And when I said, well, we can be in prayer, first off and foremost, we need to be in prayer, because God wants to hear from us right now. He not only wants to hear from us when the sun is shining, but God wants to hear our thoughts during difficult times, during trials and tribulations. He wants to hear us, because he wants to show us that, hey, I'm in control. I got this. He said, what I need you to do is, I need you to let my light shine. And I need you to really stand firm and rooted in your faith. So when people look at you during situations like this, they're going to say, man, how are you so calm in this situation? Or how can you talk about this without being upset? And that's where we got to go. We got to go deeper in our relationship. As Paul was telling the Philippian church, we got to have a deeper relationship with Christ. We've got to become mature Christians.
One of the things that, sorry to interrupt, that Brother Witt mentioned at the beginning, he said, I want to give this class practical advice, things that we can do, because I feel like I want to do something. Yeah. Witt and I, we live in the same neighborhood. We are like about, 3 or 4 blocks away.
Very close.
Well, I actually have 2 African-American families, one on each side of my house. Mm-hmm. And something that I'm going to do, and I'll let you know how it goes, I'm going to go to their houses. And I'm going to, you know, I know them and say hello. And I'm going to tell them I'm praying for this situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I'm not just going to pray in my house alone because I know God's going to hear me, but I want them to know.
Yes.
And listen, I hear your pain. I feel your pain. And I want to tell you that I'm praying for this situation. I'm praying for you, your family.
Goyo, right here. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd stopped. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That's it.
I was going to say, that is the deal right there. You just hit the nail on the head. When we start talking to people, like you're suggesting that you're going to here, there won't be very many. There'll be some, no doubt, but there won't be very many people who will reject that attitude. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to have. I mean, there's fault all the way across the board in this stuff, okay? Yeah. If we want to major on minors, we can always talk about all that. And there's a place for that. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think we just need to lock arms like you're suggesting. And I would love to hear your report after you visit with your neighbors. I'd love that.
Yeah. You know, Jose, I have right across the street neighbors, African-American, and we talk all the time. But I've never asked, what can I do? How are you? Especially, I haven't gone over. So that kind of prompted me. So, you know, God just used you to kind of slap me in the face. It wasn't a gentle nudge. I just felt, okay, I'm going. Okay, I'm going to go tomorrow. I won't go tonight. I'm going tomorrow, and I'm going to knock on his door, and I'm going to talk to my friend. So, thank you.
We need to put some action into our words and kind of, because the idea is that we want to show the community that we care.
Yes.
We want to show it. We want yet to feel that is. It's real. What is going on is real, and we understand and we
want to
help.
Bonnie's listening to this visit, and she just sent me a text a while ago about somebody she knows, who had has a black friend who asked her, you know, what she could do, and she said if you will just tell your black friends how bad you feel about the situation instead of staying quiet because they really don't know how you feel. Hope this helps y'all. I mean, it's simple medicine, but good night. Why don't we just, like y'all were saying, why don't we just simply speak up?
Yeah. We've got to take a position. You know, as the body of believers, most of the time we don't take a position. We just confine things to the building that we worship in, but we've got to take a position.
Right.
I mean, if Goyo go to his neighbor and say, hey, I'm praying for you. What else can I do? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm feeling the stress and the pain that you're going through, even not with just African-Americans. I mean, with any culture that is experiencing.
That's exactly right.
Disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got to look at, you know, who all are being disenfranchised right now and going through struggles with how society perceive them to be and then react to that in a derogatory manner. Until we take a step, and like Goyo said, until we take a step, and bring Jesus out of the trunk, and one of the things we was talking about was fear. Until we get over this fear of asking the question about, hey, what can I do? you know, I'm in prayer for you. What do you need from me? How can I help? And we're praying for you, and I'm going to bring this before the body of believers, and we'll have everybody praying on this. And, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, as Christians, there shouldn't be an elephant in the room. I know there is, and I know everybody have fears about, and what I fear is not the fear of asking the question, it's the fear of getting a response. It's the fear of getting a response, and we're afraid of what the response may be.
And then what, why, okay, if, yeah, okay, William, if, is the fear in getting the response, for example, am I afraid to ask certain things because the person will respond, and then I need, then I'm, I have to make a decision, I have to commit or not commit, is that it? Or am I missing this? What?
Well, we're fearful of what kind of response a person going to give if you go and ask them, hey, what can I do for you based on what's going on in society now with your culture? And then we're fearful of, is it going to be an anger response, or is it going to be a lashing out response? Yeah. Or if they're going to hold me to the fire and say, I need you to do this, and then you're going to say, whoa, I ain't going to be able to do that. So are we fearful of the response that we get and not the question?
Hey, William, you and I are old enough at Antioch to remember Mike Root.
Yes.
Do you remember what Mike used to say over and over again in situations like this? If you don't communicate, they will speculate.
Exactly.
That's true on all kinds of communication.
And it is true on every level.
Yeah, and if we're Christian, we need to be people that are willing to take the first step.
Yeah.
You know, in a marriage, I believe, I don't do this as well as I should, but I believe that in a marriage, when there's a problem, both partners should be rushing to be the first one to say they're sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about here. I mean, we need to be rushing to get into the middle of this thing and help people.
Yeah.
A story that comes to mind, talking about William, what William was saying, and also Brother Steve, I remember the story of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, and he rejected Jesus. Why are you talking to me? Why a Jewish person? And he engaged her. And she became the evangelist of the whole town.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen when you push down that wall.
Afraid of rejection, and sometimes we don't ask questions and we don't go and talk to the neighbor because we're afraid of being rejected.
Yeah.
And he used her response to engage in a conversation. And again, Jesus showed us in scriptures that he was willing to be rejected. He was willing to go to the wrong town. He was willing to talk to the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. I do think we need to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And so that I have jotted down here three. No racism, no bigotry. God shows no partiality. Put whatever word you want in there. Put in there. We are all of the human race, and so we're all brothers and sisters in God's creation. Number one, understand that. So show no partiality. Do your very best. You know, look in the mirror. Number two, pray. Prayers. You know, prayer is not the end of the thing to do. I've always thought prayer was the very beginning, because in prayer you're invoking the omnipotence of God, the power of God, and God's power. Once God gets involved, I'm reminded of someone a very good friend of mine who said that that you need like if you want to be in control, then understand that God gives us free will. So if I say, Lord, I've got this, then he's going to acquiesce and say, go ahead, you've got it. And instead of me saying, I mean, I beg you to help, and he says, okay, I'll start doing something now. But I think we need to invite God in. We need to invite God to be the solution. And not to say, well, you know, we can deal with this. You know, we can get together and governments and people, and we can work out our own problems. I want to tell the nation, no, we can't. We can't work it out. Only if we know God. Only God can work this out. Prayer.
You remember in the book of Solomon when God asked Solomon, he said, ask, and what shall I give thee? And that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to ask and not be fearful of a response when we ask in certain situations, and not just confine our questions or to the building, but whenever we get out in the public. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. When we're out in the public, the way we let our light shine is by speaking with people and fellowshipping with people that that don't know Christ, and building a rapport with them, and then being able to share the gospel with them. And but first off, in order to build rapport, we've got to understand, you know, what people are coming from. You know, how are you feeling right now? What's going on in your life? And we cannot be afraid of the response, because the response may not be exactly what we were hoping for, but it's probably what is needed at that particular time. And that's what we have to look at.
You were asking the question, what are the fears that keep us from asking cultural experiences? And that's what we've been talking about. We need to reach out to our neighbors and just ask, what can we do, and not be fearful of the response. Yeah. And the only other thing I'd like to bring up, and then I'll just let you guys take us all the way to the close here, is in the process of talking to people, every opportunity we have, I mentioned Sunday in the sermon that, you know, the Greek word, the Greek verb for preach, proclaim, is caruso. And it means, it does mean to use words, but it also means your whole body, just the gesture, the smile, the nod, all the body language. But it does mean words. So in the course of smiling, if you're at a store like Steve was and you cross a smile, then that's perfect. If you're having dinner with someone or you have 20 or 30 minutes, eventually we need to bring up Christ. And I know that the church sometimes feels, you know, we feel uncomfortable, but it really is the solution to the problem.
All the problems.
Yeah. And one other thing before we close, I don't know if you had a closing point, but we need to be authentic in building relationships with all lives. We need to speak the name first instead of referencing ethnicity. Are we ready to be all in once we establish that relationship with others? Are we ready for the response? Are we fearful of the response? So, you know, it's got to be all people and not ethnicity. We've got to speak names first.
Yeah. You guys have been so... Jose, go ahead, Hermano.
Well, I'm just thinking that again. If one of the problems that we have is fear, and as you said, brother, sometimes we don't know how to. Maybe we have a good intention, and we want to express our concern, but we don't know how to say it, and maybe we use the wrong words. And there is a passage, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message."
Yes.
So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And so this idea that before you go to talk to your neighbors, before I talk to my neighbor, I talk to my father and ask
him,
"Please, God, give me direction, give me the word." So open that heart so they can see that I have a good intention, that they can see you in me. And that will give me the opportunity to proclaim the message.
And you see, right now we have this magic moment like we've never had in my lifetime. In advertising, an advertising agency, when they take on a new client, they're always going to look for what that client's differential advantage is, what that particular product does that's different from everything else and that is advantageous or better than other people's. Mm-hmm. And that's what they promote. And the key to this whole thing is to realize that we will stand like in the public, like we're talking about doing here. If we stand up and we're the kind people and we're the people that love and the people that are trying to break down these walls, not to bully people, but just to simply be their friends, then we are going to be seen as really different. Yeah. And I believe that that's not only different, but I think it's advantageous. Mm-hmm. And a strong differential advantage is what sells any product. And I'm not trying to make Jesus mundane here, and I'm not trying to minimize him in any way, but we are trying to sell or communicate a faith in Christ and the need for that.
Yeah, that's so, our brand.
Yeah, and so what a great time it could be for those who are followers.
Yeah, that's our brand. I mean, we have a brand. Yeah. Our brand is Christ.
That's and right. You're right.
If we don't market our brand according to what Scripture tells us to do, then we do it a disservice. I mean, you know, though we have one life to live, but we're living in two worlds. We're living in a sinful world, and we're living in a spiritual world too. And in our spiritual walk with Christ, we've got to reside in this sinful world, and we've got to shine some light on that which needs light to be shined on. And, you know, we have a brand, and our brand is to present Christ through how we live, not just how we talk, but how we walk and how we live. And when there's difficult times, if we're fearful and run away from those times without, you know, discussing the quote-unquote elephant in the room, then we've missed the boat. Yes, we've royally missed the boat. We as Christians, there shouldn't be no elephant in the room. And if you don't know, if you don't ask the question, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
And Brother William, and you know, we were talking, before we were recording this, you know, about our relationship, you know, the Spanish speaking members with the other, not only African American, but the other members of the church. Mm-hmm. And you said, well, I haven't had much interaction with them, you know, for the language barrier, for whatever, but there is a sister, I'm gonna tell you this, mm-hmm. and that happened this past week. Her name is Silvia Leyva. You probably mm-hmm. don't even recognize her name. She said she has seen you several times in the store. Mm-hmm. You always have come to her to say, hello, how are you? And I don't know if you recognize her, but she told me that you are someone that, even though you have never crossed paths in the building, you mm-hmm. have seen her in the store a few times, and you always go and say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, outside of the church building. And you probably didn't realize, I don't know if you knew that she's your sister in Christ. Maybe you know. Mm-hmm. Did you recognize her? Do you know who I'm talking about?
You know what? I don't associate people. I'm not good with remembering names. Mm-hmm. But if I see your face, I know you. I can't call your name, but I know you. And, you know, that's my motto. When I'm outside the building, and this is where relationships are made, and this is where our light shines best. When we leave the building, and I've had this, and I don't mind saying this to you guys, I've had this happen to me a few times where when I see someone from church, they don't know me. But when we're in church, they know me. And I've had that happen. And the only thing I could do is smile. And then the next following Sunday, I go and love on that person. And that's all we can do. But when I'm outside the body of out of the building, I say building. When I'm out of the building, if I see you and recognize you, you better believe I'm going to speak and hug. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I'm a hugger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have to remember your name. If I remember your face, then I'm coming to you. And that's what we've got to do. That's what I was saying about when we leave the building, we tend to put Jesus in the trunk. Mm-hmm. Or we leave him at the building, and then we go on with our, and I'm going to say, quote unquote, worldly life. And we're missing the boat. While we come together in the first place is to be rejuvenated through the Spirit and gain more strength so we can get back out in that sinful world and let our light shine. And it's a beautiful thing when you meet people outside the building and you still have that edifying relationship outside the building that you do inside the building. It says a whole lot about people.
And now I'm going to tell you one more thing, and Brother Wick can write it down. Once we come back to the building, and we have Bible classes again, Lord willing, it's going to be soon, and things kind of calm down, I'm going to invite you to come and teach to our Spanish-speaking members. And I will interpret for you. I'll be your personal interpreter. But I'm going to bring you in, too, again, so you can have that time of fellowship with our Spanish-speaking members. And again, looking for ways to make practical.
And Jose, what William will do is he'll invite you to his class and you'll speak Spanish and he'll translate for you.
Here you go.
Yeah, I'll translate all right. It may not come out the same way, but I know you speak in love, so that's all I got to do is speak love.
the Spirit of God dwells within all of us, within every Christian.
Yes.
That's what the whole church is about. Joel's prophecy that God showed his Spirit to all mankind, and all those who believe in Jesus and receive the gospel of Christ receive the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of God, if God lives within me, that makes my body the temple of God.
Yes.
And if I want to worship God and I want to break worship off, mm-hmm. that kind of sounds impossible, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's impossible for everything we do not to be worship. We worship 24/7. Whenever you were talking to William, and actually all three of you gentlemen, your brothers, whenever you were talking about how, you know, seeing people in the stores and, you know, crossing paths, I'm thinking it's worship. Everything we do is worship. Well, and if we try to remember that, then it really helps us, I think, draw closer to each other. Steve.
Oh, yeah. Paul said the exact thing. He said, you know, our lives are a sacrifice of worship. And mm-hmm. and he didn't distinguish between the couple of hours on Sunday. I mean, it's a 168-hour-a-week project for us. And and it is. I mean, I think Goya, when you go next door to your neighbors, I believe you're going to be in the middle of worship. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have no probably doubt. Driving home tonight, you're going to have a chance to worship. See how kind you can be to the people around you and so on.
Mm-hmm. Paul writes, I appeal to you. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Look, listen to all the liturgical terms, worship terms. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a great discussion. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I've learned a lot. William, from our talk Saturday, I've enjoyed talking with Jose about our Hispanic brothers and sisters. Steve's taught me a lot as well on practically everything. But anyway, guys, thank you so much. Does anybody have any closing thoughts or comments? We're going to wrap this up right now.
Anybody? Love God, love others.
Yeah. You know, I thought I'd close with that very thought on love. We've alluded to 1 Corinthians 13, I don't know, a dozen times already in the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. last two sessions. And the middle portion of that beautiful chapter, love is patient
yes.
and kind. Love is not jealous, mm-hmm. boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right.
Yes.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends.
Yes.
So I love you guys. I love the Lord. I love the church. And I love my neighbor, and I know you do too. So let's just continue with that and grow closer and closer. I have, you know, the longer we live, the more opportunity we have to draw nearer to God. And so you've helped me in that. So God bless you. Well, thank you, class, for listening. We'll let that be our closing prayer thought, 1 Corinthians 13. God go with you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good to see you guys. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.